Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath, everyone. You know, it is always good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, as my wife mentioned earlier on, we try to visit a church that we've never been to before, and the doors seemed closed. So we said, hey, since we are close by, let us come and worship here with you. And we praise God for this because I believe you, don't take anything for granted. You know, we spend time with each other. We cross each other's paths for a reason. You know, what you have learned about your Lord, the time that you spend with your Lord, it's not just for you. It is also to share with someone else. So I'm going to share a message that I think we may be familiar with, but I'm going to share it in the context about taking that message and sharing it with others. Before we begin, let us start with a word of prayer. And Ruth, thank you very much for reminding us through song that we want to be filled with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, that he has left us as a comforter here on this earth. Let us start with a word of prayer. Dear most heavenly righteous Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you, we praise you. We're coming to the end of a year. We're coming to the end of another year. One that we pray that we have grown closer with you. One that has changed us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. One that has let your light so shine before men. One that a year that we have become salt, dear Lord, not losing its savor or flavor. Lord, we praise you because we can break bread together at this point in time. We are in your sanctuary, dear Heavenly Father. You said all those that come in shall receive a blessing just for entering into the sanctuary. But Lord, we don't want the baseline. We want more than just the baseline. You said that where one or two are gathered in your name, you will be in the midst. Lord, we invite you in this space. We praise you, dear God. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And the things that is shared here today, may it be from you and only you. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. So, let's begin. The scripture reading came from, thank you, young man, for reading it. Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 9. Isaiah 52, 7 through 9. And if you have a pen and a piece of paper, I would suggest that you make notes. If you don't know, my background has been more so in teaching than preaching. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. Just in case you didn't catch that the tidings, the message that is coming is going to be good, it's good tidings of good. Amen, right? That publisheth salvation. Savior is coming. The Savior has risen. He is alive and in the what? The world too, today. Salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen, and please catch this word. Thy what? Watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye. Who is the watchman of God? Help me out. I'm asking this question. Who are the watchmen of God? It's you and I. You and I. We are called to be what? To be watchmen. But let's see what the Bible is saying about these watchmen. In verse 8. I am preaching from my phone today, so it's going to be a little hard for me to see the text sometimes. The watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together, they shall do what? Sing. For they shall see what? Eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again what? Zion, that great city, Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord had comforted his people, he had redeemed Jerusalem. Who is modern day Jerusalem? You and I. Who are the watchmen? You and I. And Jerusalem apparently is in a place that the Bible is describing as a waste place. It is not the most pleasant place to be. But praise God that the watchmen are singing a beautiful song. A song of good tidings. Good tidings. So let us go deeper into this message. From these selected texts, we are reminded that we are privileged to profess that our God lives and reigns forever. Do you agree? It is a privilege to know that your God lives and reigns forever. Within this great solemn truth, we ought to share, number one, our knowledge of his good tidings to only our families. Is that what the Bible is saying? No. It is we should be sharing these truths to the entire what? World. Right? Number two, the true peace he offers us. We must be sharing this true peace that God offers us. I'm saying it this way. I don't know if you had this experience, but I have had it. You know, the people ask me, why is it everybody is so stressed right now on the job? Or everybody is experiencing so much angst because of what's going on in the news. But you seem to be so peaceful. Do you know why? You know why? Because we have a great hope in he who has died for us, who has risen for us, and promised us that he is going to do what? Come again for us. What a great hope. What a great hope we have. So these truths of peace, we must offer them to others. We can't keep them to ourselves. Number three. Ultimately, his willingness to freely provide salvation must be shared. Jesus Christ wants to save the sinner with his what? Grace. And by doing that, by telling the sinner, which you and I are sinners, saved by what? By grace. But telling another brother or sister about this love is it's a beautiful thing. Do you know how many people are not coming through these doors just because they feel like the things they have done is so heinous and so bad that they can't come to God? It's a very sad position. So we need to share with them the loving, kind, caring God that we know Jesus Christ to be. It's important. And this is part of being the watchmen. So let's keep going forward. All of this is accomplished once God's watchmen are on the same page. The Bible text spoke about them singing with the same voice. They were on the same page, right? Meaning they sang with a voice together. They see eye to eye in the messages of his return, where our hope and comfort resides. So I repeat, how beautiful is it to not only know, but to share the tidings of God to others? Have you ever tried this? When God has revealed himself to you, he has blessed you, you are so excited and so happy that you are willing to share that with someone else, that experience. Do you know that this is what we do with testimony? A testimony is at the tip of your what? Of your tongue. Because you don't know how to keep that praise in. Right? Praise God for that. So here Sister White provides some interesting context on this topic. She says, brethren, in the name of the Lord I call upon you to awake to your duty. This is what she says. She's calling it a what? A duty. Let your hearts be yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And they, whomever you are witnessing to, she is saying by they, will be made susceptible to the teachings of the word. then you will be able to discern the deep things of God. We are to share what we learn. You know, when I was a student in school, I learned the beauty of teaching because I tutored a lot and I taught a lot. Apparently, when you teach something, you start to learn it even better. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You're going into this thing. Thank you very much. You're going into this thing not quite sure you know every nuance about it. But as you spend more and more time, you realize that as you teach, you are actually learning and seeing things better. Do you know the good student will ask you questions about what you're teaching that sometimes will challenge you? And that's a blessing too, because it helps you to now see what you're teaching sometimes from a different perspective. Isn't that beautiful? And then it causes you to grow a little bit more. Being challenged is nothing wrong with that. Being challenged, we should be praising God for that, because it allows us to see where we need to do what? Grow. Okay? So, the testimony of Christ, a testimony of the most solemn character, is to be born to the world. So, the testimony of Christ that we are aware of, we must share it to the world. All through the book of Revelation, there are the most precious evaluating promises, and they are also warnings of the most fearfully solemn import, she says. Will not those who profess, that's you and I, we profess that we are children of God, to have a knowledge of the truth, read the testimony given to John by Christ? Here is no guesswork, she says, no scientific deception. If you don't know, I am a scientist, and I appreciate this statement. Because apparently, in the classroom today, they teach, and in the world, they teach like the only way to assess this world is through scientific reasoning. And that is wrong. That is wrong. Scientific reasoning is one aspect of the way we think about the world that is before us. But it's not the only way. Even when we were kids, they taught us that, you know, you look at nature for Christ object lessons in nature. It wasn't solely just because of science. Okay, I'm just putting that out. I want to be very clear that when we look at how the sun and the moon and how a plant grows, and you're to be looking to see Christ in it, not worshiping it, or not using that and saying that this is the, you know, it's functioning by itself and there's no, right? The nonsense that is taught in the classroom. Because I know, I'm mentioning this because I know that there are young children here, and in whatever schools they're going to, they will have to learn how to stand up for Jesus Christ. Here's no guesswork and no scientific deception. Here are the truths that concerns our present and our future well-being. What is the chaff to the wheat? What is the chaff to the wheat, she says. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. The watchmen on the walls of Zion are called upon to awake to their God-given responsibilities. That is you and I. God calls for watchmen who in the power of the Spirit will give the world the last warning message. Give the world what? A last warning message. Now, when we hear the word warning and a last message, sometimes we, oh, this is very doom and gloom. No, it's not. For us, a last warning message means what's next? Christ is going to do what? Come. And him coming is supposed to be the most joyous, most happy moment of your life. Because now you know that, because of what the Bible told us, there will be no more what? Pain, no more heartache, no more suffering, no more of any of these things anymore that has been introduced as a result of what? Sin. All right? So praise God when we hear that part of our responsibility is to share this warning cry. Right? So God's call for watchmen who in the power of the Spirit, so you're not doing this on your own strength, will give to the world the last warning message, who will proclaim the time of the night. Who will proclaim the time of the night. Everyone could be experiencing nighttime together, and some people could understand what time of night it is, and some people just know it's nighttime. Or some people don't even know it's nighttime. For some people, nighttime is their daytime. Do you understand the points that I'm making here? The point is that God wants you, as you live this life with Him and through Him, to be aware of the time you're in. He wants you to know. Okay? He calls for watchmen who will arouse men and women from their lethargy or their sleep, lest they sleep the sleep of death, she says. You see, the Lord is coming soon, and we have a responsibility in service. You know, when Christ walked on this earth, and before that, and right now, He has a care for souls. And He loves you and I, souls, and the person who's on the street, the person who's doing things that is putting their body or his temple to harm. He loves them. He said, I love the sinner, but I hate the what? The sin. That's what He says. Right? So the point is that if God, who we love, has given us grace and loves us so much, we now need to be gracious and have love for others as well. But this doesn't mean compromise to what? To sin. It's a very thin line. But I praise God, but if we study His word, you will see how He handled it. Do you understand? Because He handled it better than even what I could explain to you. So it says here, you see, the Lord is coming soon and we have the responsibility in service. God is fair. He even provides insights regarding a couple of things. The first is the time we are actually living in. He tells you, look for these signs, right? Two, the time to come. Look for those signs, right? And three, and how to avoid the following description of being a false watchman. Do you know the Bible tells you about being a watchman, but it also tells you about being a false one too? That's a pitfall. You have people proclaiming a lot of messages and giving a lot of stuff, and it's not thus saith the Lord as well. So let's look at scripture to see. Isaiah 56, 9 through 11. All ye beasts, actually let me let you get there and I'll take a sip of some water. Isaiah 56, 9 through 11. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. Whose watchmen is these? His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs, the Bible says. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, and loving to be lethargic or loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. So it's a very selfish position these watchmen take. And these watchmen do not belong to our God and our Savior. So you see, there's two sets. There's the watchmen who is bringing these good tidings of peace. They're crying this cry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, like John, right? And then you have these watchmen here who's doing everything else, and it's all self-centered. Do you see it? All right, so this The title of this message, this was a little bit of a long introduction, I get it. But the title of this message is Awake to Truths God's Watchmen Must Share. I'm going to share with you a few truths. Some of it may be basic for you and I, or some of it may be advanced for you and I. The point of the matter is these are messages that you should be sharing with others. Okay? Let's pray. Dear most heavenly righteous Father, we praise you. We honor your name. We thank you that even the topics that may seem a little bit tougher, you can give us wisdom and understanding and comprehension. You said that the fear or the reverence of you brings wisdom and understanding and comprehension in the book of Proverbs. Lord, please teach us as we spend this time in study for you, for Christ's sake. Amen. Many of us are observing or concerned or at times fixated over the news and its startling statistics related to issues such as physical diseases. Please follow me with this one. Viruses or ailments that exist in today's world. You know, in South Carolina recently, they said a bunch of monkeys was released. Monkeys that were tested upon. My thing is the timing of these things is so strange. Right after we had an election, then you have about 15 monkeys just released in the state. And I'm not trying to make you skeptical, but what I'm trying to make you aware of is that if these things are under such security, in a biological level, lab 3, 4, 5, whatever the level is, how is it they could just get out and be in the wild? So either men are being careless or the devil himself is using men to be careless. Because the reality is, if we are doing all of this biological research and we are not being protective over it, then it could cause a lot of harm in the world that we live in. I don't want to go too far with that, but I am a chemist by training. Right? So there are some chemicals I know must be under lock and key. All right, so all of these viruses, these ailments, these diseases are going on, and some of us are just so fixated over it. Hence, I must admit, being aware of what is current in terms of human health can be captivating. This is a captivating topic. You may also agree upon how much disease or viruses or ailments have taken a toll on mankind as it continues to get worse. Right? According to the World Health Organization, WHO, the global situation and trends for HIV, this is not recent stats that I'm going to read to you, but the point is you'll get the picture, okay? Since the beginning of the epidemic of HIV, more than 70 million people have been infected with HIV virus, and about 35 million people have died by HIV. This is one virus, one class of a virus. Globally, 36.7 people were living with HIV by the end of 2016. So this is not even our statistics for this year. Okay? An estimated 0.8% of adults aged 15 to 49 years old worldwide have been living with HIV, although the burden of the epidemic continues to vary considerably between countries and regions. I'll give you another one. Cancer is the second example. According to the World Health Organization, cancer in 2015 is still a leading cause of death worldwide, accounting for 8.8 million deaths. The common causes of cancer death are the cancers of the lung, the liver, colorectal, stomach, and the breast. Right? But please catch this. I gave you these numbers, and these were just two different ailments, right? Just as alarming as these statistics are, I cannot help but ask you to wonder with me, what are the current numbers for those who are spiritually malnourished? Those who are spiritually malnourished, lacking in their reading and their studying and their spending of time with our Lord and our Savior. Or those severely maimed by sin. Do you know there are consequences for the sins that we participate in? Right? Severely maimed by sin and have not reached out to God for help. Or those who do not know there is a loving, healing, and saving God available without having to even pick a phone up to dial. It's just a prayer. A, even a silent prayer. He says he hears the prayers that we do not even know how to utter for ourselves. The point here is that not all diseases and ailments that is catching our attention are discernible on our own strength. Not all sickness or disease or ailment is discernible on our own strength, since there are those due to lawlessness and sin which equally require our attention. What am I saying? I just took a very long way to say this very simple thing. The Holy Spirit, which is our comforter, who was left here on this earth, it will give us, he will bring us into all truth, the Bible says, and he will allow us to be discerning about the needs of others as well. It is not just for ourselves. Does that make sense? Sometimes a person will come and they'll be venting with you, or they'll be giving, you know, their feelings or whatever. Take time out. Even while that person is talking, and you do what? You pray. You listen keenly, because that person is not just talking to you randomly. There is a reason they came to you. Do you understand the responsibility we have as watchmen? And sometimes we have to take that little time out and pray and ask God, God, please give me the what? The words to say. Right? So let's go. The first point is going to come in the form of a question. Can we face obstacles of this world by our own strength? Can we face obstacles of this world by our own strength? You just went through 2024. You're about to embark on what year? 2025. As we're gearing up to go into this new season with our Lord and our Savior, we need to remember this. We cannot face obstacles that may come our way on our own what? Strength. I mean, we know this. We say this all the time. I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens us. You may say this is basic food, this is milk. True. But the reality is that for us to go from milk to meat, we must remember and really truly believe the milk. Does that make sense? Okay. So in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the what? In the Lord. And in the power of his might, not my own, in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. And the Bible goes further. What a beautiful promise. You think we could stop here and just go, right? No, the Bible goes further. It tells us, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. And if you haven't come to terms that these things exist, please understand that the Bible is telling you they exist. There's people who are in high places with a lot of power who are wicked. It's just a fact. But praise God, we serve somebody who's even higher than them. And we serve a God who is the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. He is the I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, meaning the beginning and the end. He writes the story. He sets kings up, and he does what? He could take them down when he chooses. So it says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. Do not go to battle with just the belt. Put the whole armor on, right? That ye may be able to withstand in the what day? In the evil day, and having done all to stand, the Bible says. So that means there are going to be some people that will do 50% of what it takes to stand. The Bible is saying, don't do that. Do what? All you can do to stand, but also know that you're really standing in the power of his what? His might. It's not really us, but we have a part and a role to play.
We have a role to play, right? Therefore, the scripture is showing us that we need to be living lives guided by God if we are to discern the condition of sin in and around our lives. There's sin all over. Sin tries to you know, find a form of temptation, in the form of strongholds. There's, you know, people that is coming trying to tempt us and lure us to do things. Sometimes you can sit in a wall with four walls by yourself and have thoughts that you know has no business being in here and in here. This is the truth. But the reality is, if we turn to him, even in those moments, we have the courage and the bravery to turn to him, we can push these things off. Right? You remember the Bible tells us that the devil is like a roaring what? Lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. And last time I checked, when a lion is really, you know, in this kind of a hunting mode, he is very cunning and smart and patient and long. But praise God, we serve a God who is even bigger and stronger than this evil lion. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you this question. Can we face obstacles of this world by our own strength? No. You know, a second set of truths the watchman should announce from now is centered around when Christ returns, deals with the following question. What events must take place at the beginning of the 1,000-year period? What events must take place at the beginning of the 1,000-year period? So you see, the watchmen don't just live in the moment. They're also paying attention to what is to come. Okay? So look at this. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. And we're going to touch on the topic, Christ returns. The watchmen must announce that Christ is going to do what? Return. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not on our own strengths. This is by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall do what? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. This information, there are so many people that believe other types of teachings, and it's keeping them away from God. This here, as simple as it may seem, could alleviate the pain or hurt that someone is living with. Because they're thinking that when someone dies, they went straight to heaven, they're looking down, they're seeing me doing all these things. No, we know as Seventh-day Adventists, as Christians, reading the undiluted truth, that when someone dies, they go to what? Sleep. And we praise God understanding this, because we know that if what they have done in him before going to sleep, when he returns, the dead in Christ can do what? Rise. Isn't it? What a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. But if you look around, we could talk a little bit about science and a little bit about nature, because God is the author of science and nature. You know, there are seeds or plants that will grow. And then the plant will you know, appear to be dead, but it could go into this dormant state. Right? Where it is resting. And then the season change again, and then the plant picks up again. Right? So, if plants could do that, why God can't do that with the human body? Put you to sleep, you go to sleep here, and then when he's ready for you, when he knows it's the right time, you will rise. Why? The point that I am making is that our God, we should not be putting limitations on God. He is capable of doing what he chooses to do. He is the God that say, look, this place is dark. There's no light here. Let there be light. And there was what? There was what? Light. He spoke it into existence. And this is such a beautiful thing when you think about it. Right? But today you have all kinds of people like, well, we need to know how the light came and when the light came. No. No. We don't need to know all these things, because the Bible even told us that there will be mysteries that we do not have the answers for, that when we spend time in heaven with him, we will have the whole of eternity to find them out. And trust me when I tell you this, I am a very curious person. I like knowing stuff. And I have come to terms in this life, this little bit of life that I've had, that I need to humble myself. I am not going to have the answers to everything. But you know what? The answers to what I need has already been provided. Spend time with him. So let's move on. So what we just touched on here is understanding that Christ will return. The righteous dead come to life in the first resurrection. I touched on this a little bit, so I can give you a little bit of text. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelation 20:16, blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. If you die, if you sleep, praise God that if you sleep, you are sleeping in him. That means that we have to be living according to his will, not our own wills. Okay? So we're assured by this with Revelation 20:16. Blessed and holy. What is something that is holy? It is set aside for sacred use. Holy things are set aside for sacred use. And the question you should be asking me is by who? Whose use? It's set aside for sacred use by who? By God. Good. So, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. There's a first death and then there's a second death. If somebody is experiencing a second death, that is an eternal what? A death. Eternal sleep, right? But they shall be priests of God. Praise God. You know, you rise to a responsibility. So you have a responsibility now as a watchman. You have a responsibility now for service. And then when you go to sleep, and then when you raise, you're going to rise to another set of responsibilities. Isn't that beautiful? You know, by the sweat of thy brow, you shall what? Eat. We have a God that believes in work. Put out some energy to receive something in return. Work. There's nothing wrong with working. But it's not your works that is going to save you. Please remember that. It is not your works that is going to save you, but work. Because faith without works is what? Dead. And the converse must be true. That means if I could do all of these great works, I could go giving fonciettas out to the, you know, and a lot of nice things. But if my faith is not in alignment with these works, then it's dead. Faith without works is dead, but that means that works without faith as well is dead. So they come together, par and parcel together. And we praise God for this. We praise God for this. So on such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They shall do what? Reign with him 1,000 years. Another truth here about when Christ returns. The living wicked is slain. Those who have taken, because remember, the gospel message is going to be preached to all the ends of this earth. And there are going to be people who have, everyone is going to have this opportunity to choose him. If they refuse him, if they continuously keep refusing him, then this is an unfortunate reality for them, where this living wicked is going to be slain. So I'm going to read it for you really quickly. This is 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. It's not that they didn't know of him. Is that they didn't choose him. Right? They know not God and that obey not. You see? They obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just in case somebody say, well, this is unfair. He's so unfair. No, look at that little statement here. Just in case they were disobedient to the gospel that was shared to them, not by chance, the Holy Spirit is prompting them. The watchman, you and I, were sharing it with them. They had opportunities through probably their parents or their guardian, whatever the case may be, he was trying to reach them in this life. Let's move on. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I think you get the point now. I'm going to give you another text if you want even more detail on this. Jeremiah 25 verses 31 through 33. Jeremiah 25 verses 31 through 33. And then it brings us to this point. All the righteous is going to be taken to heaven. We need to be able to speak about these points fluidly with our brothers and our sisters. Find ways of expressing this and teaching them these truths. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. For all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Now check this out. Why would God create a very diverse, beautiful world and then want to just work with or come for a certain select group? That's not true. And unfortunately, there are religions teaching this. Praise God that we understand and we read the Bible and we read texts and we see, look, he's coming for diverse nations and kindreds and people and towns. He said that in his word that there are lost sheep, there are other sheep that is not yet of this fold. Or he even says that there are lost sheep who, when he speaks, they would do what? They would hear his voice. The good shepherd, when he speaks, those who are willing to listen will listen. Amen? Amen. So, and this brings us to the last verse, verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. For those who are taking notes, look at John 14, verses 1 through 3 on your own time. And then here, Satan is bound. Satan is bound. We need to, the world needs to understand there is a great controversy. There is an enemy, and he's acting in not really silence anymore. He's actually becoming more and more, blatant. And he's using entertainment. He's using the media. He's even using advertisements on the television now. It is horrible. The advertisements on the TV is horrible. I'm saying this right now. Be careful of the ads as well. Right? The point that I am making here is this. Some movies even try to trivialize our understanding of who Satan is or who the devil is. Be very careful about what you watch, because what you watch can influence the way you respond to God's word. So it says here in Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. This is another name for the devil. The Bible also calls him the old serpent, which the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. So what the Bible is telling us is that he's actively deceiving nations full of different people. Till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed just for a little season. This is very, very important. I want to say why this is important. Have you ever read a book or about to read a book? And you look for, you know, hey, what is the little review in the back here? And what, you know, give me a gist of the book before I even open the book and read it. I praise God that he has given us so much foresight. He tells us what is the end is going to be like. This person, this adversary who has been trying to get you to be lost, you and I to be lost, he knows he has but a short bit of time. And it's going to come to an end for him at one point in time. And we praise God because God tells us even how it's going to go down. It's the willingness is for you and I to say, hey, I believe. It's just as simple as it is. You need to believe that the God that you serve is triumphant. He was triumphant before and he will be triumphant again. And it will be forever, for eternity. Let me just touch on this really quickly. This is not part of this message. Because a lot of times young people kind of hear stuff that is in books and whatever. The distraction on this point. The reason why Satan was left and even cast down to this earth, the reason why is because it was an act of love. God allowed him in love to come here. God allowed Adam and Eve to be either stand up for Jesus or choose free will, love. The fact that the Satan was able to deceive so much people, again, is an act of what? Love. And why am I saying that? The devil was able to influence 1/3 of the what? The angels. Those who walk closely with God. A whole third. That's not a trivial number at all. That means whatever he was saying, the lies mixed with truth, whatever he was saying, people was looking, starting to look at God in a certain kind of way. And God being love, maintained his position as love. And we praise God for that. Because if he didn't do that, the angels would have looked at God very differently. And the unfallen worlds would have looked at God very differently. Do you all understand? This is a hard topic to explain, but it's very important for us to understand this very simple and basic truth. The fact that sin was allowed to get this far is an act of love. We were told in the Bible that the plan of salvation, the plan to save you and I, was put together before the very foundation of what? Of this. What a beautiful message. That God had a plan in place just in case Adam and Eve chose to go the other way. We were told that. Praise God. So he had a plan for you and I who's sitting and standing here in this church from since then. That's how intentional your God is in terms of his love for you. He knows you by name. You know what? Beyond name, he knows you by even the hair that is on your head. And the hair that you're missing. And the hair that you have lost. I'm being silly, but the reality is that he knows you that much. He loves you that much. And this is very important for you to not only know for yourselves, but to do what? To share with others. Folks, I had more, but I'm going to go to the fifth point. What is necessary to be like Jesus? 1 John 3:2. Because we say we are Christian, right? To be Christian means to be Christ what? Like. To be what? Christ like. So we want to be like Jesus. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it don't not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know all the details of what is to come. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like who? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. But we also will see him as he wants us to be seen. God, your character must be reflective of your walk with Christ. It must be reflective as about your walk with Christ. And this is really important. Where must a person abide to be prepared for the coming of the Lord? Where must we stay? Where must we spend our time? Where must our stewardship over time and place be? Sounds like a weird question, right? But check this out. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. Spend your time in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Why did the Bible say that we may have confidence and not be ashamed? You know, there were people who doubted him and denied him when he even walked alongside them on this earth. Do you know that there are people who are born and raised or have come into this faith and believed the truths and somehow found themselves very far from these truths? And is even ashamed of the time that I was mercy. We have to be praying for those who have stepped out of this church. And we have to be praying for those who were misled. I know that this is a time of year where we focus on family and we focus on our loved ones. But this is also a time of the year where we should be really focusing on those who was once here and now they are not here as well. We should be praying for their well-being. We should find ways of being able to be true watchmen, teach them something new. It doesn't always have to be a scripture now. Your walk, your ministry could even be silent at times. Just embrace. Hi, I was thinking about you. Do you all understand the point that I'm making here? So in conclusion, from this message, we have seen that within the agency of God, he wants to awake individuals to be his watchmen. That's you and I. Being a watchman is a God-given responsibility. Guided through the Holy Spirit, the watchman will give to the world the last warning message. Do you agree? That you can't know this, the world doesn't know this. And you're just keeping it to yourself. Just tucking it. You know the Waldenses? Are you familiar with the Waldenses? They're just one group that, you know, it was outlawed. It was outlawed to talk about God, to preach or teach from the Bible. And they went as far as stitching Bible texts on the inside of their clothes. They went as far as having schools in caves. I'm just saying, the point of the matter is that those people, when faced with adversity, great adversity, still stood up and found a way to share truths because they knew that it was a life, it was truly a life and death situation or scenario by either keeping these truths to themselves and ministering to themselves or sharing it with somebody else. Okay? So, the watchman will give the world the last warning message and will proclaim the current time and times to come. God gives us foresight into his insight. He knows what's coming, but he gives us a little glimmer of what is to come. We don't know the day nor the hour. And we praise him for that. You know why? I guarantee you, when last you all took a trip on an airplane or a long trip, road trip. When last did you do that? A long time ago, recently? Anyone? I think the young sister mentioned they went to Canada 5 hours, right? About four or 5 hours. When did you pack for this trip? Woo! When did you pack for your trip? The day before. Because and when did you know you were going on this trip? Months. Weeks. This is human nature and your God knows you. He knows you very well because if he told you the day, the hour, the time he was coming, you will wait until the very same hour to get ready for him. Mercy. Mercy. We are all guilty of that. I am very guilty of this. I wait until the very last minute to then get ready. Brothers and sisters, we have to watch out for this. Do not wait until the very last minute. We also saw that knowing and sharing the truths of Christ returning is a duty to the Christian. It's a duty to the Christian. Where a few of the important truths were addressed. And I'm going to list these truths that we went through today. The people must know they cannot face obstacles of this world by their own strengths. That's number one. Number two, the people must know and be ready to anticipate events at the beginning of the 1,000-year period. Number three, the people must know and be ready for definitive facts that mark the 1,000-year period. There's some things that we need to identify because the devil is also going to have counterfeits around them as well. Four, the people must know and be ready to anticipate events at the close of the 1,000-year period. Great hope. Great hope. Five, the people must desire to know what is necessary to be like Jesus. Must know what it is to be like Jesus. And number six, the people must desire to know where a person must abide to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And we saw in the Bible that it says we must abide in who? In Him. So let me ask you, are you willing to be awake to all of the truths God's watchmen must share? Are you willing to be awake to all of the truths that God's watchmen must share? And at this time, we will close. We will sing a hymn, the closing hymn. In a little while, we're going home. 626. At this time, let us pray. Dear most heavenly righteous Father, we thank you for allowing us to spend time in a topic that we may not hear very frequently, dear Lord, but we were uplifted, our minds were reminded that when it's all said and done, we have a great service for you. Lord, we are entering into a new year. We praise you, we honor your name, and we ask that as we go into this new year, we go into this year with a mindset of sharing more about your truths. There are so many people that need you, dear Lord. In our families, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs. Lord, you even bring people into our lives that we were unprepared for. Help us, Lord, to be loving, to be kind, and to be Christ-like in everything that we do and we say. For Christ's sake, amen.